originated from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. Both of our families are on the Sunshine Coast and have been for a long time. So our parents, my parents, Christine's parents, have been there. We've been married now for 17 years. We've been together as a couple for about 21 years almost. So a long time. We've got two daughters, Chili and Asha. Chili's 12, almost 13, and Asha's 9, almost 10. And yeah, it's, I guess, been a long journey. We both went to church on the Sunshine Coast there at a place called Life Church. That's sort of where I started my Christian journey. Christine was a bit longer in faith than me. She sort of dragged me towards God, which is good. And yeah, I guess just the calling for ministry was always on Christine's life because she was a second-generation missionary. So I'll let her tell you about that, I guess.
Yeah, so my parents were missionaries in the Philippines. So when I was 10 years old, we came over for 2 years, and my parents built a Bible school. It's no longer running at the moment, but just through that whole time that they were here, we were only here 2 years, but during that time, it's where my parents made connections that we actually use today, or how we actually started our school today. So, yeah, so my parents are missionaries, so that just gave me the heart to always want to come back to the Philippines. And so, yeah, that's why we're here.
It basically came from a short-term mission trip. We came for a two-week ministry in Cebu. And then we're coming out to an island called Siargao, which is where we are now, to do a bit of R&R. So mission work for 1 week, and then sort of, you know what it's like in Australia. You have a two-week holiday break at any time in the year. 1 week ministry, the second week was vacation. And we came across this island, Siargao, where there's a bit of surf. It's tropical paradise. Everything sort of lined up. And then our partner, who was Christine's dad's long-term friend, sort of mentioned that there was a block of land here. And knowing Christine was a teacher, the possibility of starting a school here. And honestly, we all sort of just laughed it off. We were in vacation mode. We'd just done ministry for the week. So that would be nice, laughed it off, and then got back about our holiday. And then about 3 years later, we actually came back to Siargao Island for a mission, a specific mission to help build the church, as in we brought a team of men to physically lay blocks, bricks, and build the church, do the cement floor and everything like, as sort of to get involved in the community. And that's where we got the second sort of question, and a lot more serious, do you guys want to come here and start a school?
That's awesome. Yeah. So from that point, like, what was the process? You kind of had that invitation that kind of came. Christine, you had that real sense of call to the mission field. But what did you do from there?
We were actually pregnant with our first child at the time, so with Chili. So what we did was we decided that God needed to be in it, so it can't just be something because we want to do it because we feel like we want to do it. because if God's not in it, it's such a massive change to our life that it would have been too difficult. So we decided to pray for confirmation. And so when we got back to Australia, we didn't tell anybody what our plans were. And we sort of just said, okay, well, we'll pray and we'll ask God for confirmation. Now, we didn't know what that would look like. So anyway, we prayed about it. And literally, I think we decided to take a step in faith and said, okay, well, you know what, we'll put our house on the market. And then literally the week after we put our house on the market, we at church one Sunday, we were, you know how they ask for who would like corporate prayer or something like that. And so I put my hand up and the girl behind me actually prayed for me. And then after the service, she came up to me and said, oh, look, I've had a word from God for you. And it was our confirmation that we needed. And she didn't know what our plans were, but the confirmation that we received was just perfect. So so then we put our house on the market and we did all those things and started putting the plans in motion to start moving to the Philippines.
Basically, the house sold faster than we expected, for more than we expected. We sort of sold our life and we still had a year in Australia.
We, after that year, we moved over. I just had our second child, so she was 9 weeks old when we moved to the Philippines. Wow. So we had a three-year-old and a nine-week-old. And when we got here, we didn't have a house or anything like that. So, and we live on a very remote island where we built our school. And so it's there's probably a population here of about 150,000 people on the island. And so we moved over, and it was very stressful in the beginning. We moved over in March, and we were going to start the school year in June. So we quickly got our house finished being built in record time. And then we actually had our first class in June in our bedroom with 20 kids.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so we managed to do that. And then from there, we were able to build, because of the money that we'd saved up for that year, we were able to build the first two classrooms of the school, and we were able to move in there. And then from there, we've just been building and building ever since. And the money has come from donations from mainly Australia. And so right now we have, 12 classrooms. And we went from 20 kids in our first year, which was 10 years ago, 2015, to we have almost 300 now, and all the way up to grade 9
I mean, that's an incredible story, just how God's kind of taken you guys from the Sunshine Coast or wherever in Australia over to Siargao. And, you know, I love those stories of people who have just stepped out in faith and, you know, starting a school in your bedroom. Probably doesn't get any – like, as an educator myself, I know what, you know, it takes to run a school. And that's – I mean, it's incredible. So that's amazing to hear. Can you talk to us – I mean, you've described it a little bit, but describe to us what Siargao is like tropical paradise, I think is one of the things that you said, but remote as well.
So until now, we still don't have a proper functioning hospital, which sort of puts it in perspective of how the development on this island is. There's a great tourist economy, but as for the rest of the industry behind it, it's super hard. So you look out the windows, you do see blue skies, palm trees, crystal clear waters, outer reefs. Like, it's genuinely a postcard. It's a beautiful place. But the standard of living, like the to get materials here, it's expensive, it's hard, it's tricky. It comes with its – the other side of the postcard is the other side of the postcard. No one talks about that. That's where the hard work's done. That's where the riding happens. So it's beautiful, and it's also super challenging.
Yeah. So I think some of the biggest things is healthcare. So when we came here, we just sort of said to God, you're going to have to look after us because, one, we're bringing our children here. And, it's a challenging when, you know, in Australia we're so blessed that, you know, if something goes wrong, we pick up the phone and, like, within a few minutes we have an ambulance at our door if we need one. Like, for most Australians, that's the way it is. But here you're on your own. So if something happens, you have to work out how to get off the island, which there's a few ways, but if it's an emergency in the middle of the night, the only way off is by boat. And that's a 3-hour journey to get to the mainland to, again, some sub-class healthcare.
Tell us about the school. So obviously that's been a huge focus for your kind of missions work. So you started in your bedroom, you've now got 12 classes, nearly 300 kids. How does it operate? Who are the teachers? Where do the funds come from? What curriculum do you use? Those kinds of things.
So we've been 10 years, and so every year our goal has been just to increase the school by one grade level, which we've been able to do. So some of the kids who are in grade 9 now have been actually with us since the very beginning, since we were with our little classroom and in the bedroom. But all of our teachers are local teachers, so we're not an international school. We are a private school, and kids do pay tuition, but it's very, very low. It's as low as we could possibly make it while still being semi-sustainable. So we get funding also from an Australian church that helps fund our teachers' salaries so that we can retain our teachers, because it's very difficult here to retain teachers without them going to the public school, because that's the goal, I guess, because there's more money and so forth. So to make it more competitive, we pay them really well so that they stay where they are. It's just that the tuition that we take from the kids doesn't cover that, so we get money from Australia to help support that. All the building has been given by donation, so we've probably spent about, let's say, $500,000 on building, and so far we've never been without. So whenever we've needed to build, God has supplied us.
We've been close. We have been in that time on our knees in our room, just praying for God's provision to come through, and it happens.
Yeah. In terms of the curriculum, we run it's Department of Education approved in the Philippines, and so we run with their curriculum. However, I make adjustments, so it's a little bit of Australian curriculum in there. So I do all the curriculum design and writing, and we have Filipino teachers that teach it. It's a Christian school as well, so they learn about Christ and just how to have a relationship with Christ. In the Philippines, I don't know if you know, but it's a heavily Catholic nation, so they already know who God is most of the time. It's just our main goal is trying to teach them about how to have a relationship and what that looks like and what that means.
And biblical values.
We would say that, most of our demographic is Catholic. So they know about who God is and so forth. So it's Philippines is very easy to work in terms of a Christian. When you're trying to talk about God, it's very well received in the Philippines because of the fact that it is a Christian, like a Catholic nation. So
it's trying to get them into that idea of what Jesus is and that personal savior, and starting to drop away the other stuff. That's where there is challenges, because basically they need to be very, because of their beliefs with purgatory and all these Catholic strongholds there is, they get really frightened of coming over or changing religion, because it could mean they're not buried with their family. There's a lot of implications. Most of our ministry, a big part of our ministry is also to our teachers and staff. So we run pretty intensive devotionals in the morning, every morning with them, with Christine, and Bible studies on Friday afternoon. And just, it's amazing to see them slowly break down and sort of just, the longer they're with us, generally, the more that they'll start turning their eyes to Jesus, and they'll start attending our churches and start surrendering, which is a part of when they have that influence over kids, they sort of can share that light as well. So the teachers are very important to us. We consider them the Nissi family. We don't refer to them as staff or workers or anything like that. We call them our Nissi family because we know that they are the clutch to get these kids into that relationship with Jesus also. If they believe it and are full of the fruit of the Spirit, then the kids also benefit from that too.
I'd love to hear from you guys. I mean, there's probably loads over the years, but, are there any kind of stories that jump out to you, these moments of, on the mission field? I know there's lots of challenges and lots of valleys, but there's also those moments where you just think, yes, God, this is incredible what you're doing. Is there anything that kind of jumps to mind?
If you could see outside here, it's one big testimony. It is incredible that two nobodies from the Sunshine Coast have come and got 270 kids in a classroom. And my wife is running a school. It's incredible. It's mind blowing how big God is, because we know we're not worthy of what we're doing, but God's given us and He's added to us in so many ways. What's a good testimony story? There's so many.
Yeah, I guess in terms of even just finance, financing things, the times where we said we aren't able to finish a classroom because we didn't have any more money at all, any more finance. And this was in the beginning days. And we had to finish this classroom, otherwise our kids wouldn't have been able to go to the next grade level. And just people showing up like at a random time. Like I think we had an Australian couple one time came and they just attended church and then we just spoke to them afterwards. Literally it was like an hour meeting we had with them, or just to get to know you. And then they sent us a message saying, oh, look, we're really excited by what you guys are doing. We've just put some money into your account. And when you hear that, like, you know, as missionaries, lots of people give you, you know, money every now and again. And generally it's like $100 or $50 or something that, you know, in those small amounts. And anyway, so we were just praying, going, oh, Lord, we really need to finish this building. And then I checked my account to see how much they'd put in there. Any amount would have helped. And they'd put in like $7,000, which was enough to finish our classroom. Like it was the perfect amount to finish our classroom. So it's just so many moments like that where God's just shown up and said, I've got this. Like, I'm the one who sent you here. You just have to keep going and I'll do the rest.
And also that he wants us to ask and he wants us to lean on him and he wants us not to be on our own. And he's reminded us so much that we're not here by ourselves. One of those times, another time when our daughter was sick, like quite sick, and she was about two, and she went into a seizure on our bed. And I was at that point sort of panicking and then that was where Christine sort of broke into prayer and just said, oh God, you brought us here. Like, you need to fix this. You need to help us with this. And miraculously, we got through it. Like, it was just that reminder, yeah, God, we need you. You brought us here. And that was what Christine declared. At the moment our daughter was having a fever and looking dead on the bed, she declared that, you brought us here, God. You're not taking our kid. And he didn't.
Yeah, praise God.
Awesome? So I think it's just, you know, I'm not equipped to do what I'm doing here, but all God ever asks us to do is just answer his call and he'll do the rest for us. And it's through him just every day showing us what he's equipping us with that gives you so, that builds your faith, because it's just amazing to see the miracles that he does in your life. And it doesn't need to be as extreme as what we're doing on the mission field. It's just God calls people to anything. And if you follow the call, you just get to see his amazing grace in your life.
That's awesome. Yeah, such a good reminder. All right, last couple of questions. What does the next couple of years look like? Like, what are you believing for? What are you dreaming?
So hopefully we've got a few more buildings we have to build. So we're up to grade 9 at the moment. So we've probably got another maybe like 7 classrooms we've got to build. And then just, it'll be an exciting day when we finish building. And then we'll probably see where God takes us after that.
There's room next door, though. Also, there's land next door, there's land behind us. So we're also praying to that, whether God wants us to expand second campus, just completely, like, double down on what we've done. But I'm also a believer of, let's not plan too far in the future. Let's see where God's sort of taking us. If you had told me 10 years ago that I would have been in the Philippines with 270 students under our care and a ministry that's changing sort of an island and its culture, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
So it's just, we've just got willing to look into doors, windows and opportunities that God sends us and just have that discernment of the Holy Spirit to make sure what we're stepping into continues to be confirmed by God and opened by God and not leading us astray in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, how can we at Horizon Church be supporting you guys? I mean, obviously we send you a little bit of money each month, but what else can we be doing to kind of be supporting the ministry and missions that you're doing there?
Prayer. I think, I don't know. I know everyone says it's like a lot, like just a. I tell you what, we I think our journey here has been made a lot easier at times because we know that there's people praying for us and fighting battles that we don't know we're fighting. We have amazing prayer warriors at home and that pray for us. And I think prayer is so important, especially for missionaries, because, yeah, I think there's been so many things that have been avoided because of people praying for us. And so the reason why we don't get sick that often, the reason why we, you know, our school's thriving so well and we have fit so well into this community and God provides us so many opportunities is because people pray. Yeah, so people pray. So I think, yeah, just including us in your prayers.
School supplies too. There's a thing called Balik Bayan boxes that send from the Philippines, from around the world to the Philippines. Stationery, school supplies.
Books.
We've got a pretty reputable library at the moment, but there's no such thing as too many books or anything like that. So it's something like even clothes, kids' clothes, stuff like that, where we can hand out to the community. There is so many avenues of ministry and just outreach through those sort of items, just where we can bless a church with clothes for kids who don't necessarily have the nicest stuff or much at all. So there's so many ways. That's a good way.
Yeah. So there's lots of little things that you can do.
Prayer's our big point. It's always been our big point. It's always been our big focus. Us knowing that Horizon Church is lifting us up to God, whether it's through your intercessors or just prayer groups, it's we know that's what we need. That's what we've always needed. That's what gets us through. That's what helps us carry on through the tougher times, through the good times. It is the milk and honey stuff for us.
Yeah.
And of course, like the support that you guys give us goes a long way as well, because we are missionaries. We don't get funding from, we don't have a business or anything like that. Our school is not profit. I don't get a salary. John doesn't get salary. So that goes a long way as well, just helping with our everyday needs. Our kids actually do online schooling from Australia, so that's, again, another expense that it costs us, even though we get it discounted because we are missionaries. It's still something that we have to pay for, so we still have lots of expenses and things. So support goes a long way as well in helping us to stay here.
Yeah, awesome. Are there particular things that we can be praying for you? What are kind of the pressing needs at the moment?
Building finance, and just
small attacks on the school is always something. We need prayer for the children. They're obviously young, so we need just to make sure that all the enemy is off them at every time. There's enough dramas for these kids, particularly in this culture, that they need to get through. So we just need always that just the love of God is upon them, because they do face a whole bunch of different challenges that you may not necessarily see quite so prevalent in Australia. So that's a big one, to make sure these kids know that they're loved and protected. Like, so protection for the kids, and just that changing of the guard, that these young kids growing up, which is the plan for the school, will be the leaders of the community. With a whole bunch of new tools, a whole bunch of education, a whole bunch of Jesus in them, basically.
Yeah.